the stories of survivors afterwards and their tales.
It's set 10 years after the war.
Talk into your mic.
Oh, is it?
It's set that's 10 tough. Years after the war.
Oh. Are we going to...
Whitest thing. Whitest thing.
The whitest
go.
Thing?
Go.
White. Titanium...
How can you use that? Bone.
Titanium... bone. Damn it. What is that stuff they put in toothpaste, white paint? Okay, I'm going to do a couple things.
I'm going to use the safety dance.
Whenever you're ready.
I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Chris,
Matt,
April,
and Logan.
And today we're going to be looking at the graphic novel series, The Manhattan Projects. And then the second part of the show, we're going to be looking at the novel World War Z by Max Brooks. And before we get started, we're going to take a short pause for Dodge City Public Library.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. As we understand, there might be some fans of nonfiction materials in CPL land, so why not head over to www.dcpl.info and check out our podcasts. We have the nonfiction fix you've been looking for. Every month, Michael, our public service librarian, and I review a nonfiction book or other item for you to consider reading or adding to your collection. So, if you love the land of black and white informative materials, head on over and check us out. By the way, Michael thinks he's a different fictional character in every episode. No guessing what he'll be next month.
And we are back, and we're going to start with Chris today with the Manhattan Projects, and we'll let him take it away.
This is Christian from Metropolis, America, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
We can dance if we want to, we can leave your friends behind, because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. See, we can go where we want to, places where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. Oh, we can go if we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. See, we can act if we want to, if we don't, nobody will. And you can act real rude and totally removed, and I can act like an imbecile. See, we can dance, we can dance, everything's out of control. We can dance, we can dance, we're doing it from pole to pole. We can dance, everybody look at your hands. We can dance, everybody's taking the chance. Dance, oh, it's safe to dance. Yes, it's safe to dance. We can dance if you want to.
Okay, I need the book. I didn't know you were going to start with me.
Great start, everyone.
That's all right.
Feeling good no about this one. Okay.
I just need it to get the artists and the writers and the stuff straight.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so this is a glue-bound graphic novel, right?
Trade
novel. There you go. We'll just start off with the pertinence here. We've got John Hickman, the writer, Nick Patera, the artist, and then we got Jordi Belair with the coloring, and then Russ Wooton, letters. I don't know what that is.
Wu-Tang?
Wooton. Wooton. Wooton.
Hypo-Tang.
Wooton.
Wooton.
Okay.
You know Wooton.
Good try, Richard.
The little music group.
Is he?
Yes.
Clan. The Clan.
I bet you he put in the words.
Okay, so anyway. This conversation is about like this novel. It goes crazy fast. So it kind of starts off where some guy, we'll just give him, his name is Oppenheimer, is being recruited by the U.S. military, a particular lieutenant. Well, it takes place about 1942.
We're beginning of World War II.
Right, about when the United States started its Manhattan Project's experiments, if you will. And so a military sergeant, I think, is that his name? Or not sergeant, General Groves is recruiting a famous scientist, you might have heard of him, Oppenheimer, to join his Manhattan Projects, if you will. And then it goes into sort of getting to know Oppenheimer. And it uses this weird bicolor storytelling, if you want to call it that. It uses red for the evil guy and blue. I don't know. It doesn't always have to be evil, I guess. But it tells a story of these twins in two different colors. So one twin is red and the other twin is blue.
Is this alternate universes or is this?
No, this is just natural born twin.
So this is just different point of views.
Right. These are actually physical natural born twins.
Nothing like the Einstein one.
We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
So what's really funny is that it goes clear back to Oppenheimer's dad's sperm.
That's nice.
Come on. That's funny. Yeah, when it talks about the beginning, it is the beginning.
I shall be evil.
It goes back to conception. So, all right. And then it jumps right into the story where Oppenheimer is being introduced into Area 51, and he's walking by a bunch of doors and things, and he's kind of peeking in and sees a spaceship. He sees one where he's got these little jars of ancient mythological artifacts that they've been recreating, and they don't go into a whole lot of detail on how they recreated those artifacts, but they kind of say that they can make sort of imaginary weapons real or something like that. I can't remember. Right, Logan? Sort of?
I can't remember because it's been maybe a few months to a year since I read it.
Okay. Oh, it hasn't been that long.
So
I have no clue. I can't remember.
Wasn't Logan the one who suggested this one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Logan.
So
I'm the first one to read it.
So he walks by another room, and you see a bunch of mainframe PCs. Well, they're not really PCs, but they are computers, mainframe computers, and this is his huge room. And he says that's going to be their AI room. And then he walks by another window or door and sees a UFO in there. So, they kind of throw in that UFO thing with
the whole
Area
51.
The whole
Area 51
right.
Yep. Secrecy.
But then he walks by this other door, and there's this old man just staring at what looks like to be a block of stone. That's got a monolith.
And that's when you walk away.
And he kind of looks back through the window, and he seems to recognize the person. Well,
Is it him?
Yes, it's him.
Yes!
So, and then all of a sudden the alarm goes off. So they start freaking out and panicking, and then this is where I get mad, because it goes into another Oppenheimer soap.
What?
Instead of going into why the alarm is going off, it says, it's like, stop, halt, we're going to talk about Oppenheimer some more. And then, so it goes into how Oppenheimer killed his twin. At this point, I haven't named twin A or twin B yet. But ultimately, it seems like...
Wait, that part's the one? I thought it told about how he killed him much later.
Nope, it's right at the beginning.
It bounces back and forth. It's basically the first issue.
No, I thought second book was when they killed off...
Yeah, isn't...
No.
Isn't this four issues?
I'd have to look at
that.
We've
only seen two, but there's more. I know.
No.
What
contains in there? Four.
Look in
I think it's four.
Front matter there.
Oh,
Chris.
No, I know what you mean.
I think it might be four or six.
So is this kind of like that box thing, that box theory kind of thing?
Huh?
Cat in the box. Not cat in the hat, cat in the box.
Huh? It doesn't say. Okay. I thought there were four different kind of strips, if you
want
to say that.
The first one or the second one? So, anyway, you find out that one of the Oppenheimer twins is pretty sadistic and sick and mental and...
And killed the other one.
You eventually learn that he is Jeffrey Dahmer incarnate. Jeffrey Dahmer was his incarnate. But
he isn't anyone's incarnate. He just eats things to join their souls to his.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Do you that do alive you,
that,
animal?
That's crazy. Yeah, that's exactly how it works.
People, whoever.
But, yes, that's his motive for killing his brother and consuming him.
Actually, I'm not sure if that's the way it happened, because from what I remember of the red-blue strips, at the end of the red-blue strips, it looks like instead of the spiritualistic brother killing the scientific brother and eating him, it almost looks like it's the scientific brother getting the jump on the other one and then eating him instead.
The snack that smiles back children.
No, I got it the other way around. It was the evil one that got the jump and ate the good brother.
Something.
That's how I want it to be. That's but there, there, it's not real clear on what who eats who.
Right.
It because well you know like I said there's a twin A twin B and it doesn't say twin A twin B. You just have to assume twin A twin B, and so that's but where it kind of makes it a mystery, if you will.
True,
it gives but you the
twin
one
blue,
that
twin red,
twin blue. Well, yeah. But the point is that the character stays the same. I mean, whatever twin ate whatever brother is still hungry later on in the book.
In that time, he still had the little extra hims standing around, didn't he?
All I can see is the Cookie Monster.
So,
so
let me give you the character rundown real quick.
And I couldn't tell you the basis and of then, that, but there is, you know, some of the tribal people in Africa, if I remember that.
You know what? There was some in South America, too.
That South America, too? That you eat but the person's, well, it might not be the whole person, but it might be the heart for some tribes. It might be the whole person for others, but so you can take in their power to make you a better warrior.
Right.
Warrior so spirit.
That, right. So that's kind of where this is deriving from.
Yeah.
So the reason why I want to go through the character list now is because it starts to get into the different projects after that.
So does it?
And then you meet, you meet all these people.
So it has different storylines that eventually meet. They cross somewhere somehow?
Probably.
Okay, dog.
I don't know.
I don't think
I didn't read the second one.
It's pretty linear.
It's more of a.
Is it?
It doesn't really have different storylines.
Okay.
Linear.
So here we go. We got Joseph Oppenheimer, which we mentioned already. Underneath it has his characteristics. He's super genius, American physicist, multi-personalities.
Yep, that would explain
America.
It.
Next one I mentioned, I didn't want to ruin it, but I'm going to tell you now anyway, it was Albrecht Einstein.
Yes.
This is Einstein's evil twin.
Is that spelled A-L-B-E-R-C-H-T?
From a different dimension. So he's highly intelligent, German, physicist, and he drinks. then there's Richard.
What? Drinks what? Juice?
He drinks.
He just drinks.
He drinks the blood of the innocent. There you go.
Yeah, that sounds good. Then there's Richard Feynman. Did I say that right? Feynman?
Does he drink too or just eat? Good.
Well, he is a super genius American physicist and wormholer. You can take that however you want. then there's Enrico Fermi. Fermi? I might not have that
Furby.
Right. Yeah. Super genius Italian physicist, and he's not human.
Was he a fish or something? I can't remember.
Fish.
Maybe I should have saved that part for later. Oh, well. And then there's Harry Diggleian. I don't know how to say that name. Daflon. I don't know.
I gave up.
Super genius American physicist.
Sick. He's sick?
Yeah. All kinds of
weird. Yeah, kind of.
He is irradiated, and it's kind of weird how they depicted this character as being just glowing bones inside of a radiation suit.
Wasn't there
Doctor Who?
No. There was a movie that had somebody like that in it. I can't remember what it was. That he had to live in a suit. It was either a movie or a TV show.
Well
similar to that. He
in
was
the
just
Abyss,
kind of
they wear
bones.
Suits.
No.
So, anyway.
But he was just kind of bones, and he had to wear a suit to live.
I don't know.
It was a Scooby-Doo.
So, yes. Oh, maybe, that's what it was. That's what it was.
No, I think it was a TV show, but I can't remember now.
So,
Scooby-Doo was a TV show.
Okay, now we got... Okay, hey.
Hello.
We're derailing the crazy train. Okay,
started with the
so we got Wernher von Braun, which did sort of exist in real life, but this guy is a super genius German rocket scientist, and he has a robotic arm like Darth Vader or the guy in iRobot, you know. Well, probably less like those, because his robot arm is actually has no synthetic coverings or anything like that. It's just raw metal.
Yep.
So
Terminator.
Then there's Leslie Groves. He is not a genius. I like how they listen. Not a genius. American general. He smokes, and they have bombs in here, and I don't know why.
Is
so that
terrorist?
Might be something. Doesn't say. So, and then we've got, okay, now I want to get into, here, let me just, there's the two political figures that are in this book. Frederick, wow, FDR. I need to get my, yes, it's Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Frank, what is
Franklin
it?
Franklin.
Roosevelt. Okay, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
Like the turtle. Which,
yeah, and then there's Harry S. Truman. Those are the two political figures. Now, how do they sort of fit in their story? You sort of meet a, well, here, let's get back to the story. Is the first Manhattan, the first thing to go wrong, okay, why the alarms go off, and that's a sort of teleportation device ends up
powered by death monks.
Yes, ends up teleporting an army of robotic, they appear to be robotic samurai, and it ends up being Oppenheimer who saves them all with a 50 caliber machine gun, and
little bald
totally
man just go to town on them.
It's crazy.
The book is pointed their robot instead of flesh.
Without ruining the book,
you know
for
what?
Anybody.
I'm going to look at this. He is old Pee Wee Herman.
Yes.
He's a gray-haired Pee Wee Herman.
He should be the wizard in Wizard of Oz.
I just have to say, it's a weird, strange, interesting story all kind of rolled into one.
Yeah, you have to leave normalcy
it's
at
like
the
a
door.
Oh, God,
yes.
Left out too long.
Yeah, you're right. There's absolutely nothing normal about that story.
This kind of reminds me
of... Part of the second book is Good Twin versus Evil Twin in the Mind.
This is kind of
Oh, interesting. I should have read the second book.
This is kind of reminding me of Morning Glories.
No. This
the
is
whole
a
weirdness.
Because Morning Glories actually deals with real people. Some of these people in here, you don't know if they're real or not.
Well, that's the same way with Morning Glories. I never know what's going on in that.
Morning Glories?
Yeah.
Well, the kids were real.
Huh.
I don't know.
Not real life.
Oh.
As real as in they had a body.
Based
and
on a true story.
They weren't irradiated and
they went
crazy.
Through time.
That's what we should give kids in 2012 right there.
Basically a weird tale about Area 51 where there's all these weird experiments, all these weird characters just going to town.
It takes what everybody, I want to say, thinks that goes on with Area 51 or thought may have went on in World War II at Area 51 and blows
unicorns.
It up about 1,000 times.
I think unicorns are in Area 51. Right,
they might be.
I want to sort of describe how this.
We get introduced to Harry Truman when he's
right
at a Masonic type.
He is a Masonic leader. But they are like crazy religious where they have human and animal sacrifices, and it's like whoa.
They're in the
like in Sherlock.
Right.
Like in Sherlock, guys. I got this.
Yeah. But I'm gonna tell you how FDR actually is, according to this novel, still alive today. And that's they have this weird sort of brain consciousness transfer device. And the only way to transfer his consciousness to that mainframe computer that I was telling you about in the beginning is by direct contact with the brain. And because he had just died and time is of the essence, the only way to get direct access to the brain is to take their probe and stab it directly through his forehead.
Like a fork.
Like a fork. That's exactly.
They later beheaded him for a convenient movement, didn't they?
I don't remember the beheading, but
yeah, well,
I do.
Yeah, that's in the second volume.
It was only the head. That's why I'm thinking that.
So,
if I remember correctly.
So they successfully download his consciousness into this mainframe, which by today's standards takes up like several rooms instead of just a small space on your desk. And so eventually he boots up. It takes a little while and then he's alive. He's able to communicate and have his own consciousness. What was funny though is that you still have to talk to him through a keyboard, but he can talk to you through synthesized voice. Which I thought was strange. if you have a speaker, you can make a microphone. So that's why I thought it was weird.
Hashtag tech problems.
Exactly. And then that's basically how FDR could still be alive today. But anyway, I wouldn't recommend this for your average teen, if you will. It is a horror. I would suspect it to be a horror genre book. It is not a sci-fi. Well, it could be sci-fi.
Is it really
horror,
gory?
Horror, sci-fi, fantasy-ish.
It is very crazy.
Is it gory?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some spots.
Yeah, there's dismemberment. Spots. Well, no.
They use the
they
one...
actually use dismemberment, alien dismemberment.
Yeah, okay. And eating of those aliens sometimes.
Right, well, at here.
And use of a radiation person-shaped bomb.
I want to show
you that.
Right. I want to show you.
Find me the bloodiest page in there.
Okay. I don't know if he's cutting a human or not.
I'm still...
Can't tell.
Right. He's in a butcher shop and he's all bloody. But I don't know if he's cutting... Because normally when you cut sausage, it's not bloody.
True. Could be a blood sausage.
So, but anyway.
So this would be for hire.
Yeah. You're
16
I almost give it adult.
I just thought
of
something.
The content.
Oppenheimer shows a lot of zombie-like characteristics when it comes to consuming, because in this cell he went for the brains first.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's where the intelligence.
He's
is.
On that.
He wants the intelligence first.
On that, like a bee on honey.
So if your library has a, you know, a good horror following, you know, it doesn't matter if it's movie or shut up.
It's a little bit of a satirical book,
yeah.
too.
Because I considered it funny.
FDR is a robot, basically.
Yeah.
You got Truman as, I mean, an ultra Masonic card-carrying person. You got the guy with the robotic arm, you know, Oppenheimer being so out of it. And like we said, Einstein gets parallel universes. Of
he gets his evil twin, and his evil twin kills him.
But it's told with a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a black comedy or...
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Oh. True. It depends on the people. Sometimes some people like that, some people don't.
There's this story about how this girl was telling a group of friends, of new people, you know, that she was telling about her story and everything, and she was like, her parents died at a certain age in a car crash, and one girl in the back was like, "You're halfway to becoming Batman," or something like that. And then you're like best friends. I'm like, yep, that's me right there. So many inappropriate things at inappropriate times.
If you think someone's going to get ideas from this, as in you have a serial killer at your library, do not give them this book. That is a bad idea.
It might give them ideas.
I know this one has some people that I like to follow it. I don't know what the accolades are on the covers. Personally, it wasn't a favorite of mine. I can read it, but it's something that I'm not going to search out, though.
Right. I read the first one and thought it was too much. It was too crazy for me. So.
Do you have any biscuits?
It gets to
in
the
here?
Second. It gets to the other side in the second one.
Oh my gosh! At least you have biscuits in here. I'm going to go crazy. Oh my gosh.
Chocolate covered pretzels.
Oh my gosh.
That is a good bribe.
Oh my gosh.
How did we get on to chocolate covered pretzels?
So much food.
I think he's bribing April to shut up.
Let's take a break first.
Yeah, I think he's bribing April to shut up.
I saw the honey on his desk and I got curious.
It's always on his desk.
I know.
He puts it in his tea.
No, I wear it.
Oh God.
Back to the book.
Break time.
Back to the book. No, to me it was kind of a little, I mean, I kind of like the weird far out stuff, but this was a little far out for me. I like a little bit of possibility in my stories, I guess. I was like, And I was kind of a little turned off by the coloring.
It did look kind of weird.
The artwork was rougher artwork, too.
That was
like
sort of...
I didn't mind the artwork, because I kind of like that unpolished kind of look, but I guess it was kind of the colors were almost dull
in
appearance to me.
I think it helped bring the darkness a little bit
that's
more to
vision. It helps warp it.
It probably was, but it wasn't... I don't know. It wasn't what I was expecting, I guess.
A lot of curvy lines. There's not many sharp points. Mm-hmm. That could be part of, you know, the whole...
It's like Richard said, I think it was purposely colored that way. It just wasn't what I wanted, because it seems like it's all kind of, I guess, washed out's the word I want to use.
Right. And it could have been a watercolor.
True.
Your earlier mentions of terrorism, I think April was it. If I remember correctly, they actually did assassinate the German guy later on.
I think so, in Volume 2, possibly.
Like a fork.
Sorry.
Yeah, there's
the tuning
upside
fork.
Down, too.
Yeah,
like Chris said, unless you have a spot in your library for this particular genre, I don't know if sci-fi fans would enjoy it.
That's a watercolor.
It's.
I think it is
because you can see the fades in between the colors. It's not a solid change like a marker or a pencil. Well, I guess you could make a pencil that way, but it's pretty solid. I don't know if
I think the genre would be psychotic sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. That was it. I don't know. I don't know if a sci-fi fan would enjoy it.
I call
as
it gross.
Much as
a horror.
Well, psychotic. Not even that because it's not really one
horror.
Or the other.
It's psychotic, but it's not horror.
Could you see
I
history
I call
getting into this?
Gross.
Not really.
gross dismemberment
it,
and
it
stuff
kinda
like
doesn't,
that. I'm wrong.
It doesn't have
doesn't
the
fall
element
into
of
a
horror.
Normal genre.
Yeah, it
it's
doesn't.
Not scary.
Yeah, so I don't know
not
who
scary,
you would market it to.
It is psychotic.
Very.
Yes.
But it's not psychotic in a scary way.
You would well,
know. No, because you can almost predict that these people are crazy. Yeah. You can almost tell they're going to do something, so it's not
predict?
Really...
It happens in the first page.
Exactly.
It's they, not horror.
They're not hiding that aspect at all.
It's
these
psychotic.
People don't, and you know what? Later on, you learn that the people that does recruiting know these people have dark backgrounds.
Right. Yeah.
And I think...
He feels like he's kind of saving
them. Wait, are you talking about the book or the people writing this?
The characters in the book.
Okay, no.
We have
the
no
way
clue
you said that, it sounded
this.
Like they were talking about the yeah. authors, and I was like, what?
I have no clue who wrote this.
I got confused for a second.
He might because he has the books right there, but I have no clue.
My bad, I don't.
You know, I really wonder what goes on the writer's head.
Well, you got all those horror writers, too, though, you know. It's
Stephen King.
Why do you guys
imagination
smoking?
Go to it.
Imagination is great.
This is one that you'd have to try sci-fi and horror. Just let the people know that, you know, it's the weirdness factors in there, and not everybody's going to like it by any means.
Me?
So I would say larger library, yeah, but the others could probably pass it. And
I think you'd have to be a pretty big...
Unless someone's one. Asking for it, I'd ILL it.
It's not because there's anything bad in it. It's just it's such a weird story.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would circulate.
By the way, who recommended this?
Yay!
That's my bro. What?
Does that tell you anything about Logan?
Dude, you don't even know the half of it.
I don't.
You just see me and him together.
But I think that'll wrap that portion up of this podcast. I think we'll take a short break, and we'll be right back. We'd like to thank Music Alley for the music that's been provided for the episode. And if you're interested in all types of genres of music, pay them a visit at musicalley.com. They have all types of genres there for 99 cents a piece that you can download. And just want to say thank you to them for providing our intro and outro.
Hey guys, this is Sean from Phoenix Ash, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
And we are back, and in this portion of the podcast, we're going to be looking at World War Z, an oral history of the zombie war by Max Brooks. It was published by Broadway Paperbacks, and I believe, because I forgot to put this in my notes, that it was published in 2010.
Google.
I don't have to, because April
Wiki.
Left.
Google.
Who's review?
Oh, sorry, you got the computer right there.
Well, Miss April left the book at home.
Yeah, I was looking at it.
I thought, yeah.
You have the book at home?
No, it's at the school. school in my but band locker.
Anyway, she'll be
2006.
Looking 2006. Wow, it's that old?
Yeah.
The publisher date? That's according to our catalog.
Okay. Didn't realize it was that old. So 2006 publication date. You can probably find newer copies with the movie cover on it, more than likely, if you wanted to get an updated version for your library, or if now, you're a collector of books and want the different covers.
I was going to say, this is a little bit off topic, but when an author brings out a movie or brings out a movie after a book, do they change the book?
No.
At all?
Okay. No, they don't.
Not unless they make a movie adaptation of it.
Well, I was thinking Starship Troopers, but
nope, they don't.
The movie.
They usually leave it the same.
Was the other way. Okay, anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But within this book, it is a group. The narrator is never identified that I could see. And it could be that way because it is Max Brooks is saying he's the interviewee, but I kind of doubt that. But or he might be saying whoever's reading it fills in that gap of being the interviewer.
I thought that doctor was the interviewer.
It never really
You're talking about movie. I'm talking about book.
No, I'm talking about book two.
I'm talking about it's a UN investigator, yes. No, it's a UN investigator doing all these interviews, and they're stitching it together to make the book. But they never identify who the investigator is, and Max Brooks could be doing it that way so the person reading it can step into the story and be like that investigator.
Yeah. I thought it was, because the way I interpreted it was, in the beginning when there was that first case, you know, with the doctor, I thought it was him.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Oh. UN investigator all the time.
Oh.
It's like a reporter taking down the story that someone else is telling them. It's the way I took it, right?
Well, you took it? It's the investigator.
Or, okay, investigator, reporter.
And we'll get into this because we are going to be doing the movie in the next podcast. So if you want to get the differences, but we'll talk about that a little bit more when we get to the movie. But that's why I figured he might be doing it so the person that's reading it can become the interviewer. And this is a book. All these interviews are taking place 10 years after the war, and they are firsthand accounts, in quotes, because this is a work of fiction, of course. Don't remember any of this happening anyway.
Hopefully of the survivors.
It hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, it hasn't happened yet.
From what I've heard in the science world, they are starting to manufacture viruses now.
Oh, yeah.
What?
They're always mm-hmm. doing viruses. And
they're always doing viruses. Yeah, hey, how do you think we got the flu?
That's what the biological labs are there for.
Go on, Richard.
But we have for the zombies, sometimes they're called Zeeks. They're just a regular zombie. You have G's or ghouls, which are zombies that crawl or drag themselves. You have Quislings, which are people who believe they are Zeeks but aren't, kind of like people with Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They take on the characteristics even though they're not. You have the Lameaux, which are individual survivors that have gone feral. And they're the king of their domain. They don't want anything to do with anybody. They don't want to be rescued. They've gone native, basically. You have the Robin Crusoes, which are a little bit cooler than the Lameaux. They can communicate with them and help them out, but they still don't want to be really bothered that much. And then they have what are called F-critters, which are feral animals. And
what? Zombie dogs.
Dogs, cats that...
So kind of like in...
domesticated animals that don't get enough human attention.
In I Am Legend, like how the dog...
Right.
Yeah.
Kinda.
I want to see it. Zombie chicken. Do you still run around like a chicken with your head cut off?
True.
Do you know sweat?
But those are the terms you have to be familiar with when you're reading the book. The first part of the book is the exposure and leading up to the outbreak, to the pandemic. And then you have the part that goes to the war, and then the last part is just the wrapping up.
What makes this different from, I'm sorry, I guess I'm interrupting, but what makes this different from I Am Legend? If we're talking about diseases that turn people into zombies.
Book or movie I Am Legend, because they are totally different.
I guess I'm referring to the movie.
Okay.
Unmute your mic.
Well, oh, no, I haven't.
He keeps moving it while he's over there, and it's making this horrible noise, so I muted it for him.
So, but movie I Am Legend.
It's kind of similar with a virus strain. You can also say Resident Evil
contagion.
Is the same type.
Yeah.
It's a contagion.
Okay.
It's a biological contagion type zombie rather than a supernatural zombie.
When would be, like, how far back does this go into history? What would have been the first zombie contagion?
They never actually say.
They don't give dates.
They never give a date. They never actually say where it started or how it started.
Not in this particular book, but in, like, how of all the books that are out there about zombies, by contagion, by some sort of virus or something, how far back does that idea go?
It starts with George Romero's Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
But it was his movies. When was that? It wasn't actually a book. It was in the
70s. It was,
late 60s, 70s. Dawn
of the Dead, so this whole idea of bioengineering a zombie is 70s. Pretty new.
Pretty new.
Yeah.
Before then, it was a supernatural type zombie.
Right. You know, and those are the ones that are like in Scooby-Doo and...
Or your voodoo legends that have the supernatural zombies.
Generally, there weren't even bad.
Which those have been around. Manservants. Those have been around since Dracula. Yeah, Dracula and that type of era would have been the supernatural zombie brought back from whatever curse or whatever.
Okay. I like to, when new ideas come out, you know, or sort of branch off of something else, I just like that.
Romero is the first one that brought it into being a biological strain. Because his is never really explained, I don't think, in the movie. It's just accepted that it was a biological. Something happened, whether it was a gas or a virus. I think it was more
I think they said it was
radioactive.
It was kind of a, in the movie Dawn of the Dead,
it's been a while, so that's why I'm kind of...
I thought it was a gas from a military
experiment.
Ah.
Night of the Living Dead.
That was Night of the Living Dead.
Night of the Living Dead was the first one.
Yeah.
And it's in black and white.
I think it was a gas from a military experiment. Yep. They were trying to do some kind of biological agent, and it caused the zombies. But yeah. I haven't seen that movie in years.
Right.
So they're all the same. It's just how they depict them.
Right. The behavior of the zombie and...
Zombies were manservants before they were enemies.
And like in this one, they evolved that, you know, originally, like, go back to the Night of the Living Dead. They were slow moving corpses. Yes.
Right.
With they were slow moving corpses, but they were virtually unstoppable.
Like in Warm Bodies. Sorry to bring that sad movie out, but...
Even when you get into the Resident Evil, they were still kind of slow moving, but almost unstoppable.
Some of them were.
These are not your typical zombies.
Well, in the book, they're slow.
They're a little bit slower. They're still pretty quick.
In one part of the war, they go to a person in Japan that's a close-in, and he escapes going from balcony to balcony on bed sheets. And the comment that he made was, he wasn't scared when he got to the ground. He was scared while he was in the apartments because they could corner you and get you. But once he hit the ground, he could outwalk them.
Okay.
If need be, you know, he wasn't worried about that. He could jog and almost walk and still at a fast pace and get away from him.
Okay, so I have the idea of what the zombie is in this.
That's in the book. We'll be discussing the movie.
Movie's a little bit
later.
Okay, so go ahead now.
So that's the basis of the book. Some of the things that come out about the book is Jerusalem, or the Israeli nation, kind of heeds the warning earlier than other nations. So they wall off Jerusalem and become a zombie-free zone, and they're taking people in.
So the religious people can sniff them out.
No, they just... I can't remember why in the book they said they did it early.
They didn't.
But they just decided, you know...
They alluded to that they knew it was coming 2 years before anybody else.
Right.
Was it apocalyptic kind of prophecy or something?
No, they never said why, other than... They also hinted that India, I believe, is where they hinted
India
it started.
India and Korea were just kind of the areas where they
They hinted that it had started. But they never actually said how or why or anything like that.
People were reporting it, but higher-ups weren't paying attention to it because they were like, it's just a virus. Where the Israelis, for some reason, this is something
and
that's going to come
and they
get
spent
us.
2 years building the wall.
Okay. Is this helping your review out, or can I?
No, that's fine.
Shut up.
No, that's fine.
Okay. Time frame. Present day, future.
Near future.
Near future? Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Present day, near future. From what I gather from what they're talking about and the way they talk about the way things were when the war was happening. You got to remember the book is 10 years after the war.
One of the things that one of the people he goes to interviews is a Paul Ridicker. And his plan is to basically abandon most of the people behind as distractions. And the military reform, and then formalize a plan, and then go on the offensive.
Faith in humanity restored.
So, basically, leave the people stranded.
Yeah.
Yep. Here, take that stupid one first.
Yeah. Kind of like natural selection. But
I was thinking of the, what's the movie?
Basically, the strongest survive.
Right.
He wants to sacrifice the civilians. And this is explained by a person named Zolilawa
Azani. I want that name. I want that name.
Who was a prisoner in Africa, but then when the investigator signs out, you find out that it was actually Paul Ridicker, because this was so controversial that his guilt was so much that he went hiding. And he also, because it's after the war, you know, he's a hunted man. You know, it's even though it saved the bulk of the population, you know, it killed the majority. Mm-hmm. So if he's out on the street, you know, he's going to be killed.
Yep.
Where did I get to? I don't even know where I got to. Not that far.
I didn't get through all the book.
I didn't like the reporter style of it because it made it really hard for me to get into the stories the people was telling. And then when I finally was kind of starting to get into it, it was like at the very end. It was a whole new story starting up. And I was just like,
so now I get to give April crap.
You didn't read it either.
No, I didn't read it at all. It wasn't my job this time.
I don't think I even
this isn't
got
my
the
job.
But in essence,
no, I saw it sometime.
It's like April said, it's a bunch of short stories put together.
Oh, it's kind
of
like iRobot?
Or reports. It's more sterile than that. It's
okay.
Like reports, like you see in the newspapers, and you clip them out and put them in a binding.
Like a scrapbook.
Oh, really? I was kind of going for that whole looking for a serial killer. But scrapbook works, too, I guess.
Okay.
If that's what you're going for.
You know, the serial, I just think I of with where, the big... I know where she was going with that.
With the big boards and the string connecting. But I guess scrapbook works, too. That's whatever. Grandma?
Yeah, it's... Grandma. It's a collection of his investigations put in, like you would a diary. Yeah.
Or what you would find in a cop's... case folder.
Yeah, something like that. Yep. Yeah, it's...
And
it's,
they just publish them.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's written. It's kind of like he's writing what the person is telling him happened. And he... How many different stories?
Oh, my word. There's several different storylines taking place. Because he never... Well, there were some towards the end he did close off.
Yeah, see,
like
I didn't get through all of it. It's a little
Japanese
dry.
Young man, when he gets out of the city, he meets another... Japanese older gentleman
zombies,
who's
zombies.
Blind, but it's almost like a spiritual relationship. He communes with the earth, and they start fighting the zombies to defend the earth. And he learns from the older master to appreciate the earth, grow new stuff and all that. So they did go back and touch on that, because they did have those two separate, and at the end they brought them together. But there's a lot of, probably,
There's
15, 20-ish different people.
I know there's a lot of different stories all thrown into one kind of, like I said, I looked at it kind of as a diary of his travels around talking to the different people that had survived the war, but that's me.
This is one, I'm not a fan of this type of book.
Nope.
I'm not.
A little dry for me. It's a lot dry for me.
Short stories and me, it's like April said,
it's
you get
short.
Into it and then it stops.
And then you're just pissed off.
Background. I want stuff happening. So this one's not my favorite, but I can see why it was.
Was there action anywhere? I mean, did they describe the action that was happening at all?
Not as much as you would think.
It's not detailed like a novel.
Yeah. Well,
it would say, like, to give an example, they would talk about a group of military people. They started out in Denver, and they went forward throughout the United States, and they had a skirmish here and a skirmish there, but they didn't get, like Matt said, they didn't get detailed into the battles.
Oh.
So there was action to a degree, but not like you would expect action to be. It's
I'm getting the feeling this wasn't a favorite from the group. So it's,
you know,
I
read a lot of the reviews that people wrote online.
But
and some people love some people love the book. And it's, I guess, if you're really into the zombie thing and the post-apocalyptic apocalyptic stuff that would happen, you would love the book.
Okay. It sounds to me like the book maybe was more about the time than it was about the whole details attack. as far as who the enemy was and where their battle was, and it was a great battle. And
well, it was
we used this gun. It was more about the time. This was the time of it's like War of the Worlds, only not as detailed.
Well, it's
where it
talks about how the people survived the war and what they did to survive what happened at that time.
The cover
and how they got away and got out and
the
lived.
Cover led me to think that this was going to be a really cool action book. And it was not.
No, I read the first maybe five pages at Target, and I
because really the cover
that.
Looks
it does
cool.
Sound more like a diary of 20 different.
It's a journal.
People, a diary of interviews.
It's a man diary. It's a journal. Get it right. Like a satchel.
This is one, because of its popularity, you're going to have it in your library. If you don't, yeah. I'd be shocked.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you do.
Why is it so popular if people are going to be disappointed?
It's because of the movie.
I think it's because
you think the movie's brought the hype?
Told differently.
Yep. Is it
because of the short
literary
story
style
format.
That it's written in? Is I that what's so. More attractive about it?
I think it's just everybody was so used to the normal zombie trope. This one kind of broke the mold a little bit.
I
by
could
being
care
just
less
pieces.
What style it is as long as it keeps
it's almost
going.
It's almost a zombie survival is guide. Kind of.
To a degree, yeah.
Zombieland?
No. Not a zombie comedy. But no, it was the way the stories that I had written it, it was more of how the people survived the zombie war.
And
kind of that was their
was
survival
it?
Guide that he kind of like putting together
right.
a survival guide. If you're caught in this situation, this is how these people survived. Maybe this will work for you type thing.
So you don't have to read it in order even. You could pick and choose, or is there an order to the?
There's like chapters, and then within the chapters, there's the short stories about that period of time. Like I said, there's the first chapter is like the beginning of the virus and the outbreak, and then you have the actual war, which is probably the bulk of the book, and then you have the I can't remember what it's called, but the final part of it where they're wrapping it up.
Epilogue.
So, you can read it out of order, but you probably want to stay within those chapter areas. Because within the chapters, they kind of go in a little bit of a linear. Because they'll start with his first interview, was trying to find the first case and all that. And it proceeds on to the Israel where they built the wall. So it's kind of a little bit of a progression. But
it's like he was trying to, because they never tell you, but he was trying to find out basically patient zero.
Zero. And they never did. That I can recall.
Not in
a book that I can recall.
Well,
but this is basically they just the way the book ended was, like I was saying, the military and all the countries just basically formed a straight skirmish line, and it took I don't know how many years to go across the United States, and of course there's other countries doing the same thing. But it was like they went from the border of the U.S. of Canada to Mexico, a straight line of people, and I mean back to, you know, side by side, all the way down, and then they just did a burnt earth type deal. And
if you weren't human, you were dead.
Yeah, if you weren't human,
kinda
you were
like
dead.
Kind of like in grade school when you go shoot arrows, and then you guys all trot out together to go get them.
And they said the small pockets of humanity survived, but they knew they didn't get them all. They knew somehow, some way, some of them probably got away. So the end of the book is kind of like, even though people feel that it's over, they're still looking over their shoulder because, you know, if somebody comes up out of the swamp that they missed, it starts all over again. And it's one of those, do you remember that? Or 10 years from now, do you forget it and it happens and it spreads again?
What was the mode of transportation for the virus? Was it air, water?
It was kind of everything.
Bites.
Direct.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like AIDS.
Yeah, like rabies.
Do they ever say if it's do they ever say how it was actually carried other than
zombie
in
love
in the saliva of a bite? Was it? Could you? I don't know if they ever said it in the book.
They didn't say in the book. They just said bites.
Right. They never. So they never get into
blood.
What if it was blood or anything like that? It was in the
just in the bite.
Kind of like how a mosquito
transfers
malaria and stuff like that. They bite one person and they get it. And you know if they bite somebody else, they get it.
I think the movie.
The virus gave them venom sacs.
Yeah. Okay.
Close enough.
in a sense, I kind of like how the movie interpreted it. Just kind of jump just a smidgen ahead, but they interpret it to like rabies.
Yeah.
And it's very similar. Even in the book, I don't know if they actually say rabies or not, but it is really similar. It's the bites. It's the attacks and bites.
Which is how they say it happened. Well, that's the movie.
That's
we'll get into the movie.
Theoretical stuff.
But to me, it's a popular book. I didn't care for it. It's not a bad book. But I guess it's the way it's written and the short stories, again, that I didn't care for. I read a lot of reviews of what people said, and they love it. And they equate it more to a zombie survival guide than anything else. So
it's snowing. It's snowing.
I think most of your collections are going to have it in there. If you want it for your personal collection or into zombies, you might want to put it in your personal collection as well.
That's the other thing, too. I think the people that are really into the zombie books, movies, stuff like that, are really gonna like the book. So, but I would also give it, I would say age range, but you're going to have to be...
It's an adult book. And yeah. I would say...
You know, 16 or older.
16 would be able to handle it because there's not a lot of gory violence in it.
No, it's not.
I just worry about them getting into it.
Well, that's what I said. You're going to have to be into the zombies. You know, a 16-year-old that's into the zombie thing would probably enjoy the book.
If they're not, they won't.
Yeah, if you're not in... And to me, I guess if you're not into the zombie thing, you're not going to enjoy the book. Mm-hmm. I'm not really into the zombie thing, so
I think I would have enjoyed the book a lot if it was one story with the action like it
which
was.
Is like kind of like the movie
then so. I would have read it
and that's like we said this one's coming out. We're also going to be doing the movie review in the next episode, so be sure to stick around for that one. We'll be releasing that in a couple of weeks after this one's released, but I think we pretty much handled all that. We do have one piece of deal from Facebook.
We have a Facebook.
Yeah, we had a couple this
time.
Yeah,
I just liked that a couple months ago. I felt pretty proud of myself.
I think I liked it. I don't remember.
Well, see, I thought I liked it, and then I went into it, and I was like, oh, I have not liked this yet.
Yes.
Darn. I've been on Facebook a total of 2 times, and that was all before this started. So.
You know, I read a tech blog that says Facebook will be gone in 3 years.
It will be. Twitter's taking over.
But this is from when we did the Divergent review a couple episodes back. And again, the way we release these do come out quite a bit later than when we actually do the review, so I hope everybody understands that. But I had a nice dialogue with Nathan. His first comment was he liked the Divergent review. He finished up Allegiant, and a lot of the questions about world size and who is really pulling strings get answered. You just have to push through the slowness of the second book.
Oh, the memories.
Okay, that's the third book, right?
Is Allegiant the
third book?
Yeah, Allegiant is the third one.
It's Divergent.
I apologize.
Insurgent.
It's so painful.
And then Allegiant. Okay.
It's so painful.
I take it you read all three.
She
has. I haven't
literally
read the second one.
I have. I finished this series last December-ish. Roughly, and I'll still be driving around sometimes, and I'll like stop at a sign, and like it just hits me, and I just get depressed. I'm just like, no.
Okay, I'm gonna have to read the book. April's crazy.
It's so sad. A lot of my classmates cried. One of my classmates is really emotional, and I told him, I'm like, I almost cried for it. So you're gonna be bawling on the ground in a fetus position. You're gonna die.
And note on that, the movie is coming out.
So is the movie going to be like Harry Potter, Deathly Hollows, depressing?
Who knows?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know.
It's just sad.
It is super sad.
I had to look it up as to who was being the actor and actresses in it. And I don't know.
I like them.
Okay.
We'll see how it works out.
We'll review it.
Some of the other stuff that Nathan commented on was if we're going to be reviewing some John Ringo books, he recommends The Last Centaurion. So we'll put that on the list and see what we can do. A lot of these reviews that Greg recommended will probably be part of regular episodes, but also part of mini pops. So we'll be doing a little bit of stuff like that. I told him that I do like the post-apocalyptic military alternate history aspect, so we'll probably be doing some series like that, more than likely. He asked about if we did Starship Troopers, and I recommended them back to the episode, because we did release that just shortly.
Mm-hmm.
He asked us about Ender's Game, if we're going to do the series. I wrote back...
He realized there's like 16 books in that series. Holy cow.
So I told him we did the first one, but probably won't do all of them. And, of course, during this time, our home computer was down, so there was quite a bit of lag time between him and I answering.
And back to Ender. Ender Game was the first book released, right? But it's not the first one in the series.
Xenocide, I think, was out before Ender's Game.
I see it as Ender's Game is the main book, and then it just branches. I don't see any...
No.
real chronological thing.
We were talking about that last night because really Ender's Game is coming out, and I want to review that too. I think mm-hmm. it's due out here. I like shortly.
That. Yep.
We can do that.
At the time of the recording, it's due out shortly.
He also asked about Animal Farm and Fahrenheit 451, which, again, I told him we did Fahrenheit and sent him a link for that.
You guys didn't do that justice.
We are going to be doing Animal Farm. It's going to be the next book review we do after this one, the World War Z. We're doing Animal Farm. Then he asked about Atlas Shrugged. I'm like, ooh, that's a big book.
I haven't heard that.
And he says, be prepared for a seriously long, involved read.
Ender's Game. I want to hop back to it real quick. Okay, Ender's Game was actually the first one to come out in 1985. So you were right on that one. However, if you read the books in chronological order, Earth Unaware was the first book, and that just came out.
Yep.
He bounced all over the place with that.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Me and...
It's got a chronological, it's just the times they were put out published, is not the times they are in.
True.
Right.
He bounced all over the place.
Andy, who had been on the show once with us for World of Tanks, we were talking about that because he wants to watch the movie. And he said, oh, it'd be great to read the whole series. And I went, do you realize how many books there are and what they're not in order of release and... Yeah.
There's comics now, too.
Yeah, they're comic adaptations.
Oh, cool.
Not sure if those are books or different parts. Yeah.
They're adaptations of the books.
Okay.
Cool. So,
I'm currently reading the Jim Butcher Finish series. We might be throwing that in as a mini pop.
Why does that sound familiar, Jim
Butcher? Dresden Files.
Yeah.
I'll be doing that as a regular episode, but a little bit later down. He asked us he commented about how he liked how Fahrenheit 451 and Book and Eli had a similar ending. And we kind of talked about that in the review.
The Book of
Eli?
I guess they kind of do. Yeah.
So they had to remember everything in their head.
Huh.
And then he gave us another book to think about. Author Jim Rawls. He wrote Patriots and Survivors and Pounders. And Founders. And they're kind of a post-apocalyptic as well. So we do have those in my library. So I told him, that'll be thrown in there. So we can get those, whether it's a regular episode or mini pop, not sure yet.
You could do some divine comedy.
Do appreciate all the comments, Nathan.
Yes, thank you.
And if anybody else wants to make a comment, feel free. Go to admin@comicpoplibrary.com.
That's to send an email.
That's an email. Well, I said comments. Okay. I didn't say where.
Our Facebook page as well.
But you can get us by email with admin@comicpoplibrary.com. You can also get us, search Comic Pop Library in your search feed, and you'll find us on Facebook, and you can comment there. And anything we get, we usually try to read them online.
Comment on our webpage too, Comic Pop Library, or are the comments turned off?
The comments are turned off because we were getting too much spam to worry about.
I thought they were. Else, so Facebook or email.
Facebook or email is best bet.
One of my friends eats spam for lunch.
I love your tidbits of information. useless information.
I just dig right into it. This comment
brought to you by April.
But we'd be glad to hear from you, and we'll comment back, and we'll mention it on the recordings when we do recordings. Just be aware that it'll take a little bit of time, but when I'm in the conversation, it'll be during that time frame. So, again, thank you, Nathan. I think that pretty much does it for this go-around. We've been having fun here. Hope everybody's been having fun out there. We will see you on the next trip.
Bye.
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 I can see it all so clear. Please believe me, I really had something to say. But now it's bye-bye to my thinking. Now that my thinking's gone, I got nothing to say. Determination, I know that I have got to persist. Just gotta keep on anticipating, cause it's so.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.